The Morning Show on East Coast FM with Declan Meehan.
Morning Show at East Coast FM. Now, the government has approved a request by the DAA to train members of the Defence Forces to assist with duties at the airport, Dublin Airport. Several Army representatives have expressed their concerns that personnel would be asked to do more for less. The representative organisation RACO, General Secretary Commandant Conor King, says his Officers Association is concerned that this deployment is another example of Defence Forces being used as emergency cover to compensate for management decisions in other state bodies. And Conor King joins us now. Commandant, good morning to you.
Good morning, Declan.
Good morning. So, what duties have you heard that you might be asked to perform?
Well, when we first heard this yesterday at around lunchtime, we hadn't been consulted in any way, shape or form in relation to the decision or the potential for a decision to deploy our members to Dublin Airport. Obviously, there had been a number of media pronouncements over the previous months from the likes of Ryanair, etc., calling for the Army to be sent into Dublin Airport to solve the problems of the Dublin Aviation Authority. But we weren't told anything, and we've only been learning through various media pronouncements, Prime Time last night, for example, and other statements in the press this morning, that it appears it'll be something to do with airport security on the perimeter of the airport, vehicle checkpoints, etc.
Right, and does that mean out on the approaches with cars, or you know, there's no real intervention there by staff or security staff in Dublin Airport, and the acute part of the difficulty seems to be internal with looking at bags and things.
Again, Declan, speaking somewhat in the dark, what I'm picking up is that it is to do with the external gatepost into the security restricted area of Dublin Airport, you know, for access for aviation fuel resupplies, aircraft and airport supplies, and construction personnel or personnel working in the hangars. Now, people say this is not a public-facing role. Of course it's a public-facing role. We'll be facing members of the public who are delivering logistics and supplies into Dublin Airport.
Okay.
Now, the idea, I believe, and again I'm learning as I go, is that this will free up the staff who would ordinarily be trained and deployed to conduct those tasks, for them to move inside to the airports to conduct passenger security, etc.
Okay. I mean, we often hear, you know, if there's a snow that used to be years ago, if there's a bus strike, all this sort of stuff, bring in the army. And, you know, we've had some weather emergencies in the past as well. How generally do officers like yourself, and indeed what you hear from the rank and file, how do they feel about that?
We have pride in the fact that we are always called on as the state's insurance policy, because that's what we are. We're always turned to in the country's time of need, and we always step up. But the problem in the Defence Forces at the moment, and this is a long-running and well-documented problem, is that we are, you know, absolutely short-staffed, and we do not have the strength in terms of what our establishment is supposed to be to conduct our own roles, let alone any new roles that any other bodies might need help with. So the question our members are asking us and asking themselves is, where is the help for the Defence Forces in our time of need? We have operational units that are woefully understaffed. We're struggling and we're scrambling to stand still. We're struggling to fulfil our overseas commitments. We're struggling to conduct collective training. We've been very, very busy over the last couple of years in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in support of the HSE. And our own collective training and career professional development, etc., is suffering. So what I would ask is, on the day yesterday, where the Commission on the Defence Forces was supposed to be presented to Cabinet to provide a roadmap to fix the problems in the Defence Forces, the well-documented problems, this seems like another nod to an intent to continue doing more with less for the Defence Forces and for our members to sacrifice their own time, their own time off, their own collective training and their own professional development actually clean up the mess in other areas.
I mean, it's been well documented about the rates of pay, and there's question marks over that, and the view of many people taken out of, say, the Ukrainian situation, that our defence forces need to be beefed up. So there's a lot of issues, and I suppose this brings it into sharp focus as well, that you've been asked to do something while the other issues remain.
Absolutely. There, there is no improvement at the moment that we can see to our own issues. We have been trying for many, many years now to get something called the Working Time Directive implemented into the Defence Forces. The state is currently in flagrant breach of EU Working Time Directive health and safety provisions, and this means that our members are working in certain areas 60, 70, 80-hour weeks with no adequate rest or compensatory time off or overtime. We've no access to overtime. And this is why the Defence Forces, according to the Central Statistics Office, is among the lowest paid public sector organisations. So when people talk about pay scales in the Defence Forces, they think it's for something like a 40-hour week, but in reality it's for, you know, a much, much longer period than that.
So again, and I know you're in the dark about, you know, which way this might actually pan out of duties or otherwise at Dublin Airport, but the rate of pay, I mean, is it, do you get what the DAA personnel were getting? Do you get that on top of money that you're already earning with the Defence Forces? What's the pay arrangements with whatever duties you'll be asked to perform?
Frustrating aspect to this, Declan, is that, you know, the people who are managing the Defence Forces and the Department of Defence, they don't seem to think that they need to communicate this sort of vital information to members or their families. So they agree to these things without consultation. They refuse to consult with us on the implementation of the Working Time Directive or any other measures that could be used to improve the work-life balance and obviously retention of personnel. And retention of military personnel is a state security matter. So we don't really know exactly what we're going to be paid. We don't know for how long our members will be deployed. They say it's a 6-week short-term deployment, but that could obviously creep. It has crept longer in other areas. And these are key decisions and key pieces of information that any other sector would be screaming for. So we don't want to really have a whinge, but really, I think as a basic aspect of employee relations, a key aspect of this communication is lacking once again in the defence sector.
And just finally, Connor, where does, you know, to use a military term, I suppose, the chain of command come? I mean, a request comes from whom? DAA? Does it come through Eamon Ryan? Does it go from Eamon Ryan to Simon Coveney? Does it go through, you know, the top brass in the army? How did all this come about? Who talked to whom?
Probably outside the scope of Defence Forces representation to talk about the machinations of these decisions, but what we can all pick up as members of the public from what's happened is there's been a lot of political pressure from the likes of Ryanair, etc. The DAA have been told to put in a contingency plan. Instead of using their own HR and their own recruitment and retention and paying their members a proper rate, what they've done is they said, oh, should send in the army. The army will sort it out. The DAA have asked the Department of Transport, the Department of Transport have asked the Department of Defence, the Department of Defence have asked the military leadership, and here we are.
Best of luck, Connor. Thanks very much indeed for your time this morning.
Thank you.
That's RACO General Secretary Commandant Connor King, and RACO represent the officers in the Army. So let's see where that one goes. Okay, it's 0877 11 103 is our number. We'll be talking about maternity leave and cancer treatment in just a second.
Call Declan now on the Morning Show hotline, 0818 303 103.